Let us hear the scripture for today, the scripture that says fearless sowing. Mark 4, verses 1 through 9. And again, Jesus began to teach beside the sea. Such a very large crowd gathered around him that Jesus got into a boat on the sea and sat there, while the whole crowd was beside the sea on the land. And Jesus began to teach them many things in parables. And in his teaching, he said to them, "Listen, a sower went out to sow. And he sowed, and some of the seeds fell on the path, and the birds came up and ate them. And other seeds fell on the rocky ground, where there was not much soil, and they sprang up quickly, but since there was no depth of soil, when the sun rose, it was scorched, and since it had no roots, it withered away." And I think I remembered you, some fell on a path, and the birds ate them up. It was just a wild time. "And others fell among the thorns, and the thorns came up and choked them, and it yielded no grain. And other seed fell into good soil and brought forth grain, growing up and increasing and yielding 30 and 60 and 100-fold. And Jesus said, "Let anyone with ears to hear listen." For the word of God in Scripture, for the word of God within us, for the word of God among us. Now, when the stewardship committee picked generous sowing, I was finally thrilled because I knew this passage. It's in all three of the Gospels. I was pretty sure that I had preached it before. Well, I'd only preached it once, and it wasn't that good. And I found myself wondering, why had I not preached this scripture before? I thought I had. And then I realized that probably I hadn't preached it because growing and plants and seeds are not really something I know a lot about. You know, I grew up over in the East Bay, and our garden, really our yard, was one we would call nicely of native plants and volunteers. And that meant if my grandmother planted it and it survived 40 years, it was still in our yard. And natives, you know what that means. That means weeds that have volunteered and come up themselves. We call them volunteers. That was my family's yard. We mowed the front yard when it began to wave in the wind. One summer, my mother got an itch to have a garden. We had some area in the backyard that had no plants in it. And my mother just went to Payless and bought lots of little tomato plants and lots of zucchini starts. And I realized later that my mother was probably remembering the garden of her own mother and her grandmother that actually had a farm, and stories would tell about her fruits and vegetables and her beautiful tomatoes that would grow in the Oregon soil. But my mother decided in our backyard we would plant them. So she said, "Maggie Lou, you get your little shovel." And we went in this area and we just planted the tomatoes and the zucchini plants wherever. There were no rows and furrows and did anything with the dirt. If you could dig a hole, the plant went in it. And that was the most attention the garden got. When the tomatoes got really droopy, the plants, we may have put some water on them. See, my mother believed, oh, it will rain enough. And then, you know, if they did actually get a little bit of a flower, the tomato plants, it seems like the snails got them first. But the zucchini, oh my Lord, they loved it. They went everywhere. They put out runners. And so that summer we had sauteed zucchini. We had zucchini in soup. We had stuffed zucchini. I wish my mother knew about zucchini bread, but no. And we would give them to our friends. I vaguely remember bringing zucchini to, like, Sunday school teachers, My mother actually did set me up. She would say, Maggie, bring zucchinis to the neighbors. Ring the bell, and if they're not there, just leave the zucchinis on their porch. See, it wasn't until I got to North Carolina 30 years later did I understand the tomato that my mother was longing for. Stuart Ellis grew it in the outskirts of Winston-Salem. And the best tomatoes still come from his garden. I said, how do you grow them? And he said, well, I plow the dirt under. You plow it? He goes, yes, Meg, I have a tractor. And then I put compost in it that I've composted myself. I said, really? And he said, then I grow the little starts from seeds in my greenhouse. And then if I see bugs on them, I pull the bugs off. And I water them. And he said, I said, do you talk to them? And he said, well, kind of. I found the deer go after them. And I may have told you this. He found that if he put a radio under a kind of a steel bucket and played Rush Limbaugh, it would keep the deer away. He tried NPR, but it didn't seem to work. I don't know if it's true, but it made him happy to do that. And the tomatoes that came out were just stunning. And I realized I wanted the tomatoes and wanted to do absolutely none of the work. And that can be, as you can imagine, just a little bit of a problem. And so I realized I hadn't really ever preached this sermon, but I had thought about it, because when I have read this passage, I start getting worked up, not about growing the tomatoes, but as one friend said, I always start worrying about what kind of ground I was on with God. I started worrying about how many birds there were in my field and how many rocks needed to be removed and what was I going to do about those thorns. I started worrying about how I would clean them all up and how I would turn myself into a well-tilled, well-weeded, well-fertilized field, sowing God's word in the world. I think that pastor would have said, I got so worried I didn't do anything. For me as a pastor, I read this and I wonder, really, is my job to be the minister of manure? Is that my job? Am I supposed to be working with the dirt? Am I supposed to be caring and worrying about how all these things grow? And then I looked at the passage again. And the title, if you look in this chapter and in all the other two gospels, it's called the sower. It doesn't say the parable of the four different kinds of soil. It doesn't say the parable of the anxious manure spreader. It says the sower. And isn't that different? To think that this passage is about the sower who throws out the seeds. And I have to admit, I fall in love with this sower. The sower's just throwing the weeds everywhere. There is no plan to seeing where they're going to grow best. The sower just hopes something will grow. So the sower just puts them out. I'd love that there could be a dance to this passage. And if we play with a parable, which we're supposed to be, we'd say maybe God's the sower in this passage. And could it be that God throws out seeds of love and hope and forgiveness and truth and joy everywhere, just hoping they'll grow? It's a vision of a sower who is more about enthusiasm than about efficiency. A sower that's more into hope that something will grow versus cost analysis. What an amazing sower. Barbara Brown Taylor plays with the scripture and rewrites another parable outside of it. She said, once upon a time, a sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seeds fell on the path, and the birds came along and devoured them. So he put his seed pouch down and spent the next hour or so stringing aluminum foil all around his field on strings. And he put up a fake owl he bought from a garden catalog. And an afterthought, he put a couple trays out to capture the Japanese beetles. And then he returned to his sowing, and he noticed that some of the seeds had fallen on the rocky ground. So he put his seed pouch down again and went to find his wheelbarrow and his shovel. And he got down on his hands and knees and dug up the rocks and put them aside. And he thought, I'm going to build something with that later. And then he remembered his sowing and he got back to it. And then he noticed some of the seeds had fallen in a briar patch. And they were going to strangle the little seedlings and they weren't going to get any sun. So he put down his pouch again and looked everywhere for the weed poison, but then he couldn't find it. So he went and got his gloves and started pulling up the thorns by hand. And then by the time he really started making some progress, it got dark. So the sower picked up his seed pouch and his tools and decided to call it a day. And that night he fell asleep in his chair reading a seed catalog, and he walked outside the next morning and found a big crow sitting on his fake owl. And he found that there were rocks there that he swears were not there yesterday. And where he had cut down the briars, there seemed to be little leaves coming up. And the sower considered all this, and pushing back the cap on his head, he did the strangest thing. He began to laugh. It started first as a little chuckle, and then it was a full-fledged guffaw that turned into a wheeze, and at the end, his wind just seemed to run out. Still laughing and wheezing, the sower went after his seed pouch once again and began flinging seeds everywhere. Into the roots of trees, onto the roof of his house, across the fences, and into his neighbor's yards. He took seeds and offered the crow a handful of them. He gave them to the dog, but the dog didn't want them. He tossed a fistful in the creek, thinking that maybe it would take root somewhere downstream. The more he sowed, the more he seemed to have. None of it made any sense to him, but for once it did not seem to matter. He had to admit that he had never been happier in his life. Let those who have ears to hear, hear. Just love the image of the sower that just puts out the seeds, hoping that somewhere they will take root. Maybe if we play with the parable again, we think maybe we're sowers too. Maybe we need to remember that the seeds are God's, and God will carry seeds to full blossom. It's a seed and it will grow. Just plant it. Be a prodigal in the planting. Cast it anywhere, everywhere. Don't worry about fences. Trust the seed. Trust the gracious love of God, and that something will grow. I love that image that we get to be sower of God's seeds of love, of forgiveness, of warmth, of food, of hope, of courage. That we get to throw them and not worry about results. Because when you give your financial seeds to the church, you're not going to get a report back and say, well, look how our investments went. We just don't know. We're not supposed to wait for the results or to judge before we spread. Because I'm going to tell you, friends, once you got some little seeds of faith, and I bet your Sunday school teachers thought you never listened to anything, but you were worth it. I don't know what happens with the sermons I preach or with your acts of kindness. We're not supposed to worry just about the results. One pastor told a story about a group of chaplains who were military chaplains that were meeting in Germany, and they had gotten together and they were telling stories. And many of them had served in the same military bases, And two of them had decided they had just served right together. One who had just left was talking to the new one, and he said, I have to ask about one couple. They're the ones that stood out to me, the ones I spent so much time with, and I had no idea if their marriage would last, if their faith would grow, and I can't help worrying about them and worrying and wondering if they're still together. And together, the second chaplain said, really? You should see them now. They're the mainstays of our program. They speak so highly about the way you taught them. And the first pastor was a little shocked. He was one of the lucky ones that got to hear about what had grown in the seeds he and God had planted. And you just never know. You never know when you show a bit of compassion, when you share your church faith, or maybe invite someone to church, how it may make a difference. We may lose track of people or look at someone on the street and say they're not worth the time, but to God they are. And we may never know what grows. We trust the seed and the one that gave us the love and compassion to learn how to sow with fearless generosity. But I have to admit, I still worry about the image of us being soil, of how do we make good soil in the church. I like the image of the pews. I like to think of them as furrows. Maybe you're being planted right now. The truth is, if you're in your church, something's happening to your dirt. And I think for me, and I wonder for you, my soil of my soul gets really impacted. Fear, worry, stress. So the good news of God's water or light can't get through me. It just kind of washes off. I wonder if part of what we do in worship is to kind of break up our compacted soil. Might happen in music. Might happen by a word that you hear. It may happen in silence, but maybe if we break up our dirt a little bit, something may take root. Something may grow. Maybe you're going to get a bit of extra fertilizer on you. Amazingly, I have a bit of a garden in my home in San Francisco. I have some things in pots, and I have the yard is probably as big as this pulpit. But I learned now to trim a little bit and to prune, because when things are pruned, they do better. And I have also found that what grows best in my garden are weeds. They're amazing. There can be a crack this big, and some wild seed goes down and makes roots. You know, all you need is this much dirt and room, and maybe God can get in there. Or the best thing in my garden are the poppies. I didn't plant them. They're volunteers. But I know enough not to weed them out. And I'm just delighted by where they grow. So I wonder, friends, if you have enough of a little crack for God to get in. Or maybe there'll be things that grow in places you never expected. Because we have the sower who just throws seeds out in abandon. I think again and again and again with a hope that something will grow in you, that courage and faith and love and compassion will grow in this city. So let us be sowers, knowing we didn't produce the seed, but we get to share it. May God grow something new in us. Amen.